is a finisher salah, inshallah, come close. Brothers, finish your salah, inshallah, come close. Come close to the member, inshallah. If we sit as close to each other as possible, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to gather and to make the fikr of deen for a short while. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many, many gifts. And the greatest of all gifts is given us the gift of iman. Yeah. To believe in Allah, to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to believe in the angels, to believe in the last day, to believe in all that is good and bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in the life of the hereafter. This is iman. You know? And iman is the greatest gift. You know, a person can live his entire life believing in every single thing that is around, believing in the money is doing, or his job is doing, or his profession is providing for him. But really, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is providing everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of life and death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of the bringer of the sun in the morning. Allah is the one that takes life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer of each and everything. And that yaqeen has to come into our life. Today we talk about it, but that is just on the tip of the tongue. But in reality, iman has to be in our hearts. You know, and iman, an example, one of the sheikhs I was in Safar, and one of the talks in one of the in the Marcus, I think it was in Kakrail, he gave an example that what is iman? You know, iman and the heart, the connection is this. Is like the soil, you know. You have a seed, and that seed is capable of doing so many things. When that seed grows, it can become a tree. I don't know if any of you have seen these redwood trees in California, hundreds of years old, you know, hundreds of feet, hundreds of meters in the air, you know, and living such long lives. Yeah, but where did that start from? Was a seed, you know. But that seed has to go in the ground. And the ground has to accept that seed, you know. If that seed is not accepted by the ground, then no matter what you do, that seed will not grow into this big redwood tree, you know, or a big fern tree or whatever, however big it is. In the same way, la ilaha illallah, if it is not in the heart and the heart does not accept that seed, it will not grow into this beautiful thing, beautiful deen, you know. So we have to see that heart, that our heart, alhamdulillah, has accepted la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And then that seed has grown, and that seed has grown into a beautiful appearance of our deen, you know, in the way we act, in the way we pray our salat, all of these things. But if that la ilaha illallah is not in the seed of the heart, then no matter what happens, it will not be accepted, you know. And we see this, the example in the world, you know. There are people who are the orientalists, who know better hadith, you know, they have studied the hadith of Quran, Bukhari, Muslim, you know, they know the Rawis better than we even know them, you know. But they don't have the seed of iman in their hearts. So that thing does not drive them towards believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have yaqeen in Allah and having yaqeen in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that person is all it is knowledge, you know. It's just information, you know. In tech speak, you know, they say garbage in, garbage out. You know, you give a little, like a computer program, if it comes into the information that goes in is the information that goes out. So whatever information they have put is not enough for them to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this iman, even if it is in the heart of a person who does not even be able to do anything, you know, he is the slave of Allah. He is not worthy of any significance in the eyes of people, you know. This is why there is the incident of the time of the Prophet ﷺ where the Sahabas were set, and the Prophet ﷺ asked about an opinion about a person, and he said he is a sign of a good family. whenever a betrothed he is asked for someone's hand in marriage, people accept him, you know. And then, so this is what the opinion they gave of that person. And the Prophet ﷺ kept quiet. And then another person came, and a very simple, humble person. And he says, what do you think about this person? He says, oh, he is a simple person. Nobody, even if somebody asks for his hand in marriage, you know, nobody's ready to accept that. And then he says, if you ask about his opinion, nobody's willing to give opinion. So the Prophet ﷺ said that this person is better, a lot better than a lot of the former. So in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not our position, it is not our wealth, it is not our capabilities, it is really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given us these opportunities, yeah, to be a professional, to have the knowledge that we've been to university and to be able to do that. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. None of us could, you know, did it through our own capabilities, you know. And Waqi, when we look at how that happened, someone put the selection, you know, in to get into medical school or to get into law school, to get into engineering school. That was, you know, we think it is through our capabilities. Oh, we worked hard and we did the exams. But who is it that put the intellect in our hearts, you know, intellect in our minds, gave us that intellect, gave us those capabilities, you know? If we didn't have that capability, then how were we able to get that? So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is giving us all things, you know. And so we have to really go back to the absolute beginning, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that He has given us each and everything. He has given us the limbs that we are able to walk and given us the hands that we are able to do things. So some people have professions where they use their hands, you know. Most professionals, we have to use our hands in many, many ways, but we also use the pen to be able to do the signatures that, you know, we are able to, you know, sometimes in my job, some people say, oh, you know, your little squiggle and the effects of this little squiggle is, we think, oh, it's nothing. But because of that, I can you know, give a prescription to someone or control someone's ability to have this treatment or not, isn't it? Yeah. So this ability to be able to do that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if I can't use my hands, then how am I able to fulfill my job or to be able to do my job? You know, it sounds very ajeeb. There was a person in my medical school, and that person was deaf, you know. So somebody asked, how are you going to be a doctor? You know, but alhamdulillah, that person was able to do that job, you know, because the faculties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, you can sometimes compensate for these things, you know. But if you have all of these things, eventually you have to understand that person has to have a certain amount of ability, you know. We even had a person who went through medical school in a wheelchair, you know, wasn't able to walk, you know. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that ability, that they were able to treat their patients and do things. But ultimately, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, each and every one of us, He's given us, you know, limbs to use. He's given us eyes to see. He's given us the ears to hear, you know. But there is a difference between seeing and sight, and there is a difference between listening and hearing. I mean, and the difference being is that our perception, you know, if a person can see something and another person is seeing the same thing, we see two different things, you know. I can see that this person has this condition, has this illness, and that person cannot see the same thing. You know, we both have the same eyesight, but it is the training and the years of going, and what you see is then you're able to explain to them that, yes, this person has got this health condition. You know, in the same way, the hearing, you know, I can hear a person's heartbeat and tell you, yes, this person has got this murmur or has got this ailment or this condition. And then a person who listens with the same ears doesn't hear the same thing. All he hears is a sound, isn't it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these capabilities, given us these faculties to use for His deen. You know, we are using them for our profession so that we become better in being able to do these our jobs. But ultimately, at the end of all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us that we use those same capabilities, but we use them for deen. We use them to first and foremost to understand who is our Rabb, who is our Creator, who is our Sustainer, that Allah is the one that is sustaining us. Allah is the one that is doing all things, you know. And it's and you know, it's very strange that I see, you know, you will have two persons with the same condition, and one you do absolutely everything you can possibly, and that person doesn't survive, because in life and death is not in our hands, you know, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then sometimes you see someone who really is at death's door, is there's no chance, and we give up, and we see that that person lives, you know. So life and death is not in the control of anyone, it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know? So we have to bring this yaqeen in our hearts that Allah is the one that does each and everything. Allah is the one who controls each thing. Allah is the one that provides for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given us all these capabilities that we are using in our professions, in our jobs, in our environments. And together with this, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we understand in our jobs, in jobs we have a certain system of doing things. You know, I know that if I want to be able to treat a person with a heart attack, for example, I have to do A, B, C, D, E, and then I have to get this passed on to another doctor who is a specialist, and he will do E, F, G, H, I, J, until that person gets better, isn't it? There's a system, there's a way of doing things, you know. And we understand that these are protocols or guidelines, or they are treatment that years and years of research has been used, you know. But what about the system of our life, how we should be living our life from morning to evening, you know? When we wake up in the morning, how should we wake up? In the morning, how should we be performing our, you know, our salat? What actions should we be performing to spend the rest of our day? And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how should we spend our entire life, from the cradle to the grave, from the morning to the evening, you know, in all seasons, not only in the winter but in the summer, how we should live our life, you know. In the darkness of the night, how we should be, you know, leading our life. In the brightness of the day, in the sunshine, in the cold weather, how we should be doing this, you know. And that Sharia has been given to us. The guidelines are there that how we should lead our life. Otherwise, a person leads his life without any care and worry, you know. And in the Sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, there's 100% success. And we don't always see that, you know. Many times, someone tells me, oh, this recent fact has come about that in performing this in this way, there is benefit. You know? Just recently, one Sudanese brother was telling me an example that the Sudanese had, you know, there was a famine for a little while, so they collected all the grain of wheat because there was some famine, and they stored it for such a long time. And what happened was, it started getting, within a few months, it was getting fungus, and all the seed was wasted. So they looked at the sunnah of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to interpret dreams. He was, it's a long story, but he was in the jail, and then he interpreted the dream of the leader of Egypt. And then he came to the aid, and he said, look, there will be 7 years of good crop, and then there will be 7 years of famine. So they collected all the grain, and he was made into the chief in charge of the grain. And the way they collected the grain was, they didn't take the individual seeds of thing. They kept the whole the head of wheat, you know. So the Sudanese people, when they looked, it said in the sunnah they kept the grain with the full wheat. You know, the wheat has got the grains on, and it's on a head. It's salsabil, is like the whole the head, you know. And they found out when this was how they store. So they started storing the wheat like this, and they says they were protected. It says no harm came to this wheat, you know. So in the sunnah of Yusuf alayhi salam, the way he ordered the people that when you store the wheat, you should store it in this way, that no harm will come to the crop. And so for how many years? 7 years was the wheat was stored. And they had so much stores of wheat that they gave to the people that came. And the story is long, but the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam came, and he provided for them for wheat, etc. But in this day and age, people saw the same example, and they started storing the wheat. And that protected the crop, you know. So we see this is a simple example in the Quran of how that one sunnah of a Nabi of the previous times, they've adopted their sunnah and they save themselves. What about the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the imam of all the anbiya, you know, the leader of all the anbiya, and his example, you know? In the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is so much power. We know the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the splitting of the moon and putting it together, that is the power of one finger. But what about the sunnah, the power of each and every sunnah that we adopt, you know? From the way we dress head to toe, you know, from the example of how we cut our nails, to the way we eat, to the way we act, you know. But the greatest of all things was that clerk of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, we see his behavior, the way he would act with other people. You know, once a Bedouin came to Masjid Nabi and he started urinating in the masjid. So the Sahaba Rajalameen rushed as if to stop him, and the Prophet said, no, let him be, let him go and, you know, let him fulfill his need. And when he finished, he said, go, wash this, and then we'll see, you know. He didn't sort of scorn him or shout at him or anything. That Bedouin, when he came to the Prophet and he went away from there, he said that I did this, but neither did he scorn him, neither did, you know, did he speak harshly, you know. The same was the example of Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was the slave, said was an adopted son of the Prophet, but later on it was mentioned that he's not the adopted son, but he lived in the company of Rasulullah. He said during the time that he lived, he neither scorned him or even shouted at any point. You know, today you see that softness and that the way of talking and the character of Rasulullah was so much that people embraced Islam. You know, when the prisoners, when they were kept, in Masjid Nabawi for 3 days, and just being in the company of Rasulullah and around the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they accepted Islam. The character and the dealings and the way that a clerk was so good that this is how they accepted Islam. So today our conduct, you know, the way we conduct ourselves, you know, among ourselves, among our patients, that we don't speak harshly, you know. How we would like to be treated, we treat other people with, even better than that. You know, someone who is good to us, obviously we act good to them, but someone comes to us in a harsh tone and starts shouting at us and speaking harshly, no, we don't talk back in that. You know, we listen to them, listen to their conversation, listen to them. And this leaves a very good example, leaves a very good impression on the people. And if somebody asks that, where did you learn this? This is the akhlaq of Rasulullah. The akhlaq of Rasulullah has such a beautiful manner and in which we should conduct ourselves and conduct our dealings. You know? And today, unfortunately, we don't know the conduct of Rasulullah. The muamalat, the dealings, the business transactions that we have between us, you know, even this has been shown in the sunnah of the Prophet. How we should conduct ourselves, how our muamalat should be in the same way, you know. And if we were to conduct all of this, then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll see the beautiful environment. And it says the environment of Masjid Nabawi was so beautiful that people, you know, there was such peace and for so many years, you know. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us complete deen. And out of all the actions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the greatest is given us salah, you know. If you ask the people of the book or the previous, if they needed anything, they have to go to their priests and to ask. You know, still today, you know, the Catholic priests, if you want to ask anything, you have to go to confession and you ask them, etc. And then they say, yes, you know, do so many things and this will be. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a direct way of asking from him, you know, through salat. There's no need to go through any intermediary, you know. Like in Musa al-Islam's time, they had to go to Musa al-Islam and ask dua, and then he used to convey the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we have a direct way of taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures. You know, any need, any necessity, any hardship, any thing that we face, whether it be something that we need, something simple or something hard, difficulty, we should resort to salat. And this was the example of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. You know, and today, it is not the comfort of our eyes. The comfort of our eyes is other things, you know. But the comfort of the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was salah. You know, such was the love and the affection that he would spend so many hours in salah in the night. You know, so today we have to turn our attention towards Salah. That if we want to solve our problems, the solution to fixing our problems is in Salah. And how long does it take? It takes us a few minutes. Nafil Salat, we pray Salatul Hajat, and we ask of our needs. Whatever needs we have, we turn our hands towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, our hands are turning towards the creation, and the creation cannot give us, you know. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is able to give all things, you know. And on a daily basis, we have some sort of need or a necessity, you know. So we should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to get our needs fulfilled, you know. And knowledge that we should acquire is, alhamdulillah, many of us have spent many, many years, you know, acquiring the knowledge of our professions. And we should also acquire the knowledge of deen. You know, what is the simplest action that I need to do in order to fulfill that for today? You know, or for this year, I need to know about this. You know, alhamdulillah, I was quite fortunate. There is a course online course for the fiqh of medicine. You know, that in whatever profession we are, we should learn what is the requirement I should have for that thing. You know, and it was. By fortune, I had a patient who was end of life and was a Muslim patient. So I didn't know what is the way of organ transplantation and all of these things. And indeed, even in that, there is answers. So alhamdulillah, this course was running, and this is done by many eminent, you know, muftis, etc. But the question of even explaining to people about that, whether this is, we can resuscitate person or not, you know, alhamdulillah, that knowledge is available to us today. You know, many, you know, groups of ulama all over the world discussing very fine detail about these things as something as important as life and death. You know, that making a decision to switch off a life support machine, or whether to donate the organs for other use, that has been discussed through the ulama. You know, so that knowledge, unfortunately, today, we're not striving to search for that knowledge, you know. And it is present today, alhamdulillah. Every single aspect. So that's in my profession. What about our other professions? In law, in engineering, in all these aspects are available today. So we have to spend a bit of our time in order to learn that fiqh of that aspect of our deen, you know, of our profession also, you know. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many things, but the greatest gift after iman, he's given us time, you know. And unfortunately, we have to try and utilize our time, or spend that portion of time, for learning of deen. Not only learning of deen, practicing deen, but also telling other people about this, you know. If we are in our profession, and alhamdulillah, it's very easy, you know. I have so many patients a day, you know. Somebody is sick, and they are a captive audience. They're not going anywhere. They're sat in their bed. You know, one of the wards I work on, they are in isolation, so they can't go from their room into other rooms because they have some, you know, like they might have COVID or they might have something else. So they have to stay in their rooms. So they're a captive audience. You speak to them and you tell them, alhamdulillah, obviously they are Muslim. We tell them, alhamdulillah, you know, you have this illness. First of all, we have to say that whatever treatment I am giving, this is the sunnah that we adopt, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then inshallah, the shifa will be in there, you know. But first of all, my yaqeen should be that this in this medicine, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given shifa, then I will get shifa. And whilst you are there, do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. In your bed, you can, while it's lying, you know, lying on your soft bed in the hospital, do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If able, read some Quran, you know. And when the time of salat comes, you can read your salat. So even if a person is not able to even get out of the bed, they can read their salat. But alhamdulillah, they have their own place for wudu, bathroom, they can do wudu and pray namaz. And many a time this happens, you know. So in their rooms, they're able to read their salat, they're able to do zikr, they're able to. So they are having their treatment, but also alhamdulillah, they're having the ability to fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and deen, you know. So otherwise, what happens, if we give them da'wat on this, then alhamdulillah, slowly, we will also be giving them a da'wat of deen, you know. And alhamdulillah, the difference being is that our perception is that we should try and also impart some knowledge of deen. And even if the least is that we don't have enough to be able to knowledge to be able to explain to them about deen, the least benefit we will get is we will go and see a sick person, you know. And the hadith of Rasulullah is that you visit a sick person in the day, then the angels make dua maghfirat for that person till the night time, and then if he goes and visits a sick person during the night, then the angels make dua maghfirat for that person till the morning, you know. For the person, not only mainly for the visitor. So today, you know, I may see, on an average day, I will see maybe 20 patients. Alhamdulillah, I have that ability to be able to do that, you know. But my niyats of going to work, it should be primarily for deen, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with me, you know. If Allah is pleased with me, then in my actions, in my dealings, and my job, it becomes ibadat. I'm going to get there and get my wage at the end of the week or the end of the month. But alhamdulillah, if I go with the intention of deen and fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that my niyat is that whatever benefit I want to do purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even in my physician role, I will see that I will get this will become ibadat. Not only will it become a means of ibadat, but it also become a means of dawah. That other people will also come towards deen and closer towards deen. You know, if my actions are good and I explain to the person in a nice way, without being harsh to the person, you know, then you will see that person will come close towards deen. You know? So not only will my profession be a means of my livelihood and my rozi and my risk, but it will also become a means of dawah. You know? Yeah. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all this responsibility, you know. It doesn't matter what profession we are in. Even if we are the simplest person, even for the women folk, when they are at home, if they are making the worry and concern of deen, that how can deen come inside our lives, in the lives of our children, and in the people of the community, and in the whole of the world, just by sitting and making that worry and concern in their homes, they get the reward for the whole of the world. You know. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity where we have come to this jaw, alhamdulillah, this jaw of professionals and foreign students. And really, we should be thankful that we have these ishtimas, you know, we have these jaws. And it gives us a chance to remind ourselves, you know. Constantly, we have reminders, you know. Even I can't go down the road in my car without a reminder. This is 30, this is 50, this is 70, you know. What happens if I go over the 30? It is a danger for the road users as well as myself, you know. I get into the car, and if I don't put the seatbelt on, then the car stops beeping. It reminds me that, yes, you have to put your seatbelt on, isn't it? So what about reminding each other about the akhirah, about the life of the hereafter, about the sunnah of Rasulullah, how we should be living a life? And not only a reminder for myself, but what about that reminder for other people? You know, if we give dawah to other Muslim brothers in this country or other parts in the world, then by reminding others, the first person that gets reminded is myself. You know, I am talking to you, but the first person, I am hearing my voice first. You know, I am giving dawah to myself. You know, I am reminding myself. You know, so dawah is for the entire humanity. Because Rasulullah is the last prophet. After Rasulullah, there is no Nabi to come. He'll be the prophet till the last day. You know. So for deen to spread in the world, we have to make this effort. That every single one of us have a responsibility to make the effort of deen and dawah, first and foremost on ourselves, on our family, and then in the entire world. And this is why this going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a reminder of that how we can bring this deen. You know. And if we don't make this effort, then eventually the harms of the world will come in. Into our homes, will come into us. You know. Today, you know, someone said that if we don't make the effort of dawah, it is a bit like a field or a garden. If we have a grass, a little bit of lawn in our house, what happens if we don't tend to that patch of grass? First of all, what will happen? It'll start growing, overgrowing, and once it starts overgrowing, then we start getting all sorts of animals and insects will inhabit that place. And eventually, okay, we don't have snakes here, but if it is in other places, then you will get poisonous insects and snakes, and that will come in there. So the aim is that if we are keeping our grass or our keeping our farmland clean and tidy, then it will stop all the harms coming. You know? In the same way, if there is darkness, the only thing to bring light is we need a little match. And the effect of that little match is it will spread light in the four corners of that room or that area. You know, if we have a torch and we switch it on, automatically the darkness goes away. You know, so by making the effort of dawah, the invitation towards good, automatically just by that little effort, we start seeing the effects. You know, and sometimes Allah Subhanahu wa Taala shows us the effects, but sometimes He doesn't. You know? We don't know through that little effort that we make that someone on the other part of the world, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, is giving hidayat. You know? And it is more important that we make the effort of dawah. Why? Because if we don't make the effort, then slowly, slowly, the harms and the environment that is outside will start affecting us. You know, in Urdu is you become madu, you become invited. If you are not an inviter, you become invited. You know, and we see constantly everywhere there are billboards giving us invitation. You know, towards the dunya, towards the other things. You know, so if we are a da'i, you know, the best example, what is the best da'wat is the muazzin. When the muazzin, you know, is a da'wat tamma, when he gives da'wat, what is the effect of that da'wat? Is shaitan runs. Shaitan runs as far away as he can be through the da'wat of the muazzin. But yet, in ibadat, if we are not standing close together in salah, then shaitan comes between us. So it's not the ibadat which is keeping away the shaitan, it is the da'wat. So the da'wat of the muazzin makes the shaitan go away. So if we are involved in the effort of da'wat and inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll start to see the effects of that. You know, our iman will be protected and our iman will become stronger. You know, this is why constantly every day we should be talking about the qudrat of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, adopting the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, acquiring knowledge, spending at least some portion of the day in acquiring that knowledge of deen, just as we spend acquiring the knowledge of our professions. You know, we should be striving towards the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing some remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through zikr, through Quran tilawat, and to do the ikram of our Muslim brothers, and our sincerity and our intention should be correct, but ultimately going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we go out in the path of Allah to learn the effort of deen, then alhamdulillah it will become easy to practice it in our jobs, in our professions. Because we will be going to people we don't know, we're not familiar with. And I can give da'wah to someone, you know, on the other side of the world and explain to them about deen and the effort of deen. But the effect, impact will be on our own selves and our own localities. And then when we come back to our own locality, we make effort in the locality where we are, in whatever way we can. You know, one mulaqat, you know, the Shab Guzari every Thursday night, you know, we come and attend. But the main thing is, inshallah, we spend a bit of time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember in 96, we had with us, I won't mention the name, but we had a doctor from, and he went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 4 months. Yeah, and to me and you, it sounds easy, you know, alhamdulillah, 4 months. If you are free and not doing a huge amount, it's easy to spend that time. He had to put a locum in his surgery, and he says it cost him more than £2,000 for each week for that locum, each week. You know? So how much has he spent? Not only has he sacrificed his time, his energy, his effort, but financially how much he has done to put a locum while he's away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know? But the effect of that is, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a person we don't do it so that people will say, oh, Dr. Sahib, mashallah, he's going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we do it so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to be firm on deen. Somebody once asked a question. He says, how long should we tashkil someone? You know, is it for 4 months? Is it for 4 days? 40 days? Is it for 3 days? Is it for daily mashwara, daily gasht? He said, we have to keep tashkil in that person until we have a guarantee that this person dies with iman. How can I say for sure that if I die with iman in the next minute or the next hour that I will die with iman, you know, guaranteed. You know, so that much effort we have to make so that we can say for sure that I leave, when I leave this world, I leave with iman. You know? So how much effort we need to make, you know, in order to preserve this iman, in order to keep on this iman and also propagate this iman in the world, you know, in our localities, in our house, you know. So for this, alhamdulillah, the tartib is there, alhamdulillah, we spend 4 months, you know. And alhamdulillah, it's not difficult for professionals to do this, you know. Wallahi, I've seen brothers who just by making that intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for them. You know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for them. If you want to do something, like they said, where there is a will, there is a way, you know. If we make that intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the way, you know. But this, the will has to come from us. The intention has to come from us, you know. And depending on our intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, you know. Many a time there is a taqaza, and in your heart you think, oh Allah, can I go? I'd like to go. And just by making that fikr and that worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen, you know. So we should, you know, in Urdu it says, they say, you know, jeb ke upar nahin dekhna, gaib ke upar. Don't look at your pockets that, you know, can I go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But look at the unseen help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to go. You know? So for this, brothers, inshallah, we give our intentions. Alhamdulillah, this is the first gathering, but inshallah, give our intentions. If, you know, alhamdulillah, I remember we have some, mashallah, some brothers from Malaysia and Asia. Back in the 90s, you know, alhamdulillah, it was... The brothers who came from Malaysia, many, many students, you know, mostly we had engineering students. Alhamdulillah, my very first 3 days I spent was with, well, at university, alhamdulillah, I got involved in the effort of Dawat. And we used to go regular 3 days with the Malaysian brothers, alhamdulillah. And it was a tartib that when they finished their studies, they would go for 4 months before going home. You know? Alhamdulillah, this is so much effort that they had spent, and alhamdulillah, back in those days, we remember the bayans, they used to be all in Urdu. You know, we didn't understand Urdu, you know. So the jamaats we used to go with the students, you know, student jamaats we used to go with the Malaysian brothers who spoke English. And through this, alhamdulillah, very, very well, I still remember the learning of the 6 points from one of the Malaysian brothers, alhamdulillah, you know. We're talking about in the 80s, you know, back in the 80s, you know. So a lot of sacrificed brothers who, foreign students came, made the effort of the, you know, in Bradford, how many Malaysian brothers used to come, engineering, they used to come for the Shabguzari, but they made effort, and they got their degrees and their PhDs, and went, also, they went with the effort of deen back to Malaysia. You know? So this effort of deen is a moving from one place to another. You know, the real effort of movement. And he says, you know, when water is running, it is bark, it is clean, it is. You can do so many things with it. You know, you can have a bath, you can do wudu, you can wash your clothes. But when water is stagnant, it's not moving, you know, then all sorts of problems come in that, and it becomes napak and many things. So we have to be moving. You know, going in the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, moving and acting and going in the and doing everything from a day to day. From a month to month, from year to year. So with this, brothers, inshallah, give some intention, inshallah. Whatever intentions you can give, whether it be to spend 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after our studies, obviously, if you are studying, then to go after our studies, inshallah.
I won't be very long. Because, well, time is very brief. After a while, inshallah, there will be a break for you because some of you might not have had your lunch. So there's tea before Asr, and what you call after Asr, there'll be bayan again until Maghrib, and for after Maghrib till Isha. So we request every one of you be here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you tawfiq to be here. So be here, inshallah. By what my doctor was, I was trying to explain to us that it's a deen. Our success in dunya and akhirat is in deen. And deen will come through effort. The effort that Ambiya alayhi salam came was the effort of hidayat. Huh. What is hidayat? Hidayat is turning of our heart, direction of our life, heart, from makhluk to khalik. What we see in the creation, we start seeing in khalik. It's not happening over there, it's happening from Allah. And from dunya to akhirat, that our this life is temporary. Nobody has come here to live forever. All of us will have to leave this world, and permanently, if anybody had the right to live, it would have been Hazrat Muhammad Sallam, even here at one. So no one is going to live. We have thinking that, because we lack this hidayat, which I'm coming to you very briefly. So what is hidayat? Turning of heart from makhluk to khalik, and from dunya to akhirat, and from wealth to amal. We see we have a lot of money, a lot of property, we'll be successful. Because you see, it's not happening. What you're not seeing, that it is by what you call obedience to Allah. So my beloved brother, this is what we are required to get this hidayat. This is why asking dua of hidayat has become compulsory. Everybody has to make it. Salat will not be accepted. If we don't make dua for hidayat, our salat will not be accepted. Ehdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. O Allah, guide me to the right path, to the path of Anbiya al-Islam, Siddiqeen and Shuhada, and not to the path of those who have gone astray. And in that specifically, don't be offended. Ulama Kiram explained, they are Yahud and Nasara. So we are asking this in every prayer. If we do not make this, then our salat will not be accepted. Every salat and every rakat we have to do. But you know, that only dua, somebody goes to Baitullah and says, he doesn't get married. And they ask, oh Allah, you have got Qudrat, give me a nice handsome son. He's also getting married. Say, go on, get married, go to your wife. Now then ask. So likewise, hidayat you're asking, but without effort. So I'm just going to give you briefly, quickly, four things are required for hidayat. One is to make dua. We make dua for everything else. Job, house, degree, everything. But hidayat, because we don't think it's so important, although it is most important. Hidayat is more important than health, food, wife, children, and even living in this world. If a person leaves this world with hidayat, he is successful forever. And if he has all the wealth of the world, but he lacks hidayat, he is ruined. The day of death will be doomsday. So my brother, this is why Anbiya al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Adam al-Islam was first Nabi and first what do you call, first insan and first Nabi. And what effort they made? That insan got hidayat. So that, because we will practice deen in proportion to hidayat. You say we don't have hidayat. Yes, we have hidayat. But the degree of hidayat is little. We need to increase this. So much hidayat we require that we can obey every command of Allah in the tariqah of Rasulullah under all conditions. This is compulsory. So my beloved brother, for that certain things are required, which I'm just going to run over. One thing is that you make dua. This is most important. Even our degree, our job, our wife and children, Allah give you that. Number one. Second is taat, obedience. Allah says in Quran, "Bayin toti utahtadu." Obey, and you will get that. Who are we going to obey? Allah says in Quran, "Atiullah wa atiur Rasul, walirinkum." Obey Allah Rasul, and your Amir, or elders in Deen. If we don't obey, then what will happen? We'll be obeying Shaitan and Nafs, two enemies, Nafs inside, and Shaitan. Somebody asked, how did Shaitan become Shaitan? He said, His nafs turned him to Shaitan. So my brother, we have to, this is what we learn. The whole tartib that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this work of Dawat is not what you call, somebody just thought and made a program. No, it is that effort of Rasulullah Sam. And today, this after 1,000 years almost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has once again opened his work for us. And alhamdulillah, we see, it began from scratch. From people who did not know anything, most backward people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread this work all over the world. And inshallah, so my brother, what is required? Dua. Second is obedience. And third thing is mujahida. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَّهْدِيَنُمْ سُنَا. He who strives in Allah, who does mujahida, I will keep on opening the door of hidayat for him. So hidayat will come, not taking life easy. No, we have to do mujahada. What is mujahada? The hardship, inconvenience, or trouble that we face in obeying the command of Allah. The hardship, suffering, inconvenience that we undergo in obeying the command of Allah and Sunnah of Islam, that is called mujahada. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attached hidayat with mujahada. وَالَّذِينَ جَعُدْ فِنَا He strives, does mujahada, you know, I will keep on opening the door of hidayat for him. So the more hidayat we get, the more it will become easy. You see those people who are many people, you see, they're very pious. Dawat work also, striving the path of Allah, making all sorts of sacrifice. What is it? They are like human beings. No, Allah has given hidayat. Like we saw our hospital sir, one of our elders, so different. Although he's an alim, half his only, not even alim. But 24 hours of his life, all the time concerned about humanity and hidayat of mankind. So my brother, this is called hidayat. So we need to, this is the greatest need. So third thing is mujahida, dua, mujahida, atat, mujahida. And fourth is sacrifice. Deen has always come through sacrifice. All Anbiya alayhi salam had to undergo sacrifice. Even Rasulullah salam, the greatest of mankind. Although, if Allah wants to give hidayah, he can do it. But this is not the sunnat. Like Khaja Muhyiddin Chishti rahmatullahi alayh, he was from Yemen and he was advised to go to Ajmer and make effort among the Hindus there. He went there. He sat in a place. People came and said, no, you can't sit here. The cow of the Maharaja sits here. Go. So they lifted him up and brought the cow. The cow, it is what you call it's a true story. So they brought the cow. But the cow, they sat and they couldn't get up. Then it was time for prayer. So he asked, get me some water because I have to make wuzu. They said, no water here. So Khaja Muhyiddin Chishti rahmatullah turned towards a statue. He said, this is my prayer time. I have to make wuzu. Get some water. And the statue moved from there to the stream and brought water. This is a karamat. Karamat is true. But like miracle, wahi is true. Karamat is with the past people. So, they brought the water. At this site, the whole of what you call Ajmer, entered the fold of Islam. And one journey from Ajmer to Bengal, 90 million people entered the fold of Islam. No fighting. No soul. Allah has got Qudrat. This just explains that Allah has got the Qudrat. He can do it. But the sunnat is, because this deen has to continue on the day of Qiyamah. This is why Rasulullah taught his ummah. The work of Nabi was taught to this ummah. In fact, the amal of Dawat, effort of Hidayat, was given to this ummah first, and then Ibadat came. Dawat first, Ibadat later on. For the first day, as soon as the person said, now invite people. Because we don't see Allah, how great He is, His Qudrat. This will come in your heart when we speak of it. When we speak of it, listen to it. Elder said there are two things. Two things are required to practice Deen. One is Iman and the other is environment. Now that you are in environment, you are understanding. If somebody had to stand on the street, you would not understand. So environment is it. So Alhamdulillah, my dear brother, through the effort of Dawat, the effort is being made. This is why we are required to go on the path of Allah. Inshallah, we'll hear this again. So, sacrifice, I said. Should I do that, inshallah? Already? We all need that, don't we? Every one of you. So, by that, this is given by Allah. It's not something man-made or invented. How these people in the Qariyam Masjid, they have just, the work of Allah began from here. This Masjid was there. So, there we go. This is the place from where it started. And from here, the markaz was formed. And there was no ulama, no hafiz, nobody. And now, alhamdulillah, we could say thousands. Every home has a hafiz of Quran. And we must have got ulama also in hundreds, many hundreds. Alim and alma, by the work of Dawat. The beard and sunnah dress, this was not there. But alhamdulillah, so inshallah, we make this word with niyat of the whole world. And until the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, we get the reward of this. Okay, brother? So right now, sir, should we? Okay, inshallah. Okay. So, I was giving, obedience, as I told you, we have to adhere to it. Time is time. 10 minutes before and 5 minutes after. So I thought it was time for me. But since I'm getting the permission to speak to you, so my brother, we look at responsibility. I just want to remind you of the responsibility. We think that, mashallah, I'm practicing, then what can I do? My dear brother, we have to worry about ourselves, our wife, our children. Suddenly I remember while he was talking, there's a doctor. We used to have professional gathering here. Ah, many, many doctors used to come. And doctors and professionals, even from South Africa, America, Canada. And they should benefit a lot. They would go back, change. In 3 days' time, such was the effect. So, what the reason was, that it had to be stopped. I remember South Africa, people said, brother, why did you do that? We are benefiting so much from this gathering, and you'll have stopped. I said, what to do for Shrazbir? Right. So, we used to have doctors, especially, I just mentioned that. I'm sure there are many doctors here also. When we tashkil them, we explain this work and we need to go out in the path of Allah. They said, we want to go, it's very nice. But what to do? Our wives don't agree. Our wives don't agree. Because wives are dominating. General of the army, but the wife is the general in the house. So we thought of it. Such very, very valuable, precious people, doctors. You know, all of you are the cream of the nation. You are sitting here because you have a say. You come across people, doctors, patients are coming, and people listen to you and pay respect to you. Likewise, scholars, professionals, solicitors. So you have a say, the sweaty, and people respect. It's for one. They are privileged people. So this is why it is. These gatherings are taking place. Inshallah, this will continue. Just begun. Don't worry. And don't worry about the number. Even if the number is few, if it is accepted by Allah, enough. Enough for that. If today we have 313, like Sahaba Kram, this is enough for the hidayat of the whole world. So may Allah accept us. So once we spoke to the doctors and said, you all could go. He said, we could go, but what to do? Our wife don't agree. So we had a lady from, we had a lady from Bombay, and she was a doctor, so Dr. Aziz Nisan. Very gifted lady. Husband Yusuf Sahib Ramtullah, he himself went to his house, and behind the curtain, he gave dawah to her. And she came to this country for four times for 1 year. Just imagine. With the mashwara of the elders, she came 4 times for 1 year. And from here, she would go to with the whole Jamaat, with her husband. And when the husband passed away, then nephew, and so on and so forth. So from here, this 4 months, gone to Norway, Denmark, Canada, Dubai, Saudi, from here. But 4 times, and had a great effect. Many, many ladies changed them. So we had a program. We thought, because these doctors are facing this problem, so we had a gathering for doctors and the missus. So mashallah, doctors came and the missus also came. And bayan was given, and more than bayan, it is a kram, our life. My brother, people will not listen to us. They want to see our life. This is what our elders are stressing. That people who are involved with the work of Dawat, they should have taqwa in their life, tawakkal in their life, tawazu in their life, sabr in their life, ikhlaq in their life. This is why we are saying, don't worry about. What about the non-Muslims? You make a fatwa yourself. Let Islam come in your life. They will look at our life and be attracted to them. Islam has got attraction. So this is why, don't worry, we make dua, of course. Of course, we must not forget. We make dua for every person. All the Christians, all the Jews, all the Hindus, all the non-Muslims. They're also creation of Allah. And they're also the Ummat of Rasulullah Sam. And we have responsibility to make effort that they get that. But this is not the effort. Because we don't have deen. We go and tell you, he said, why? You don't go yourself? What is so good about Islam? They say this. Nah, all the wrong that we see in Muslim today, they might say this. This is why it does say that we make effort among the Muslims. So the Islam comes in their life. So Islam will come in their life. But they start striving for it. They will make the effort of Abdi al Islam, effort of Hidayat. So that gathering took place, mashallah. And the ladies were so impressed. They said, oh, acha? We didn't know. Nobody ever told us. My father and forefather, they're also pious people. They think they're pious. Five times Salat. So, but today we understood what the Book of Dawud is. This was by Iman Yaqeen talk and the Akhlaq, Khidmat. You see, our life, people will not just listen to you and mashallah, come over the path. No. You're dealing, your character, your fikr for them, making dua at night for them, effort during the day. So, fourth thing that I just forgot, dua, you know, you call taat, mujahida, urbani, and dawat. Dawat has to come, because all of we all die. So, and we have to learn this dawat. Today we don't know. Just going and saying, go and do this. No, you'll take him away. You'll send him for that. You have to learn this. Like says Urdu, Mukha Sanashi, Bidash Sanashi, Mardam Sanashi, what do you call that? Mukha Sanashi. Proper time, proper person you're talking to, you understand? You don't talk to an alim like you talk to a person walking on the street. He's the president of the mosque. So we have to pay respect to him. Rasulullah Sallam, you know, he would spread his sheet for kufar also, leader of the kufar. He would come. Because if he didn't do a kram, he would not listen. So this we have to learn also. Otherwise people go away. We just give dawat. No, dawat. The hikmat. You humble yourself. The person you're giving dawat to, you must consider him to be better than you, superior than you. Then he will listen to you. And so much tarheeb, and so much tashkil. So much tarheeb, benefit. And then tell him what do you say about that? So these things we have to learn, and it can't be learned at home. This tartib. What do we go do in Jamaat? We are required to involve in these four amals: Dawat ilallah, Taalim wa Taallum, Zikr wa Khidmat. Zikr wa Khidmat. These are four amals are means of Hidayat. They are means. If we involve in this amal properly, like this is why I want to say, he who goes in the path of Allah and involve, does this amal properly. Mind you, not just Allah will give me that. What does properly means? That he has to do it in abundance. Tasasuk in continuity. Not do today and don't do tomorrow. Continuity for 4 months or 40 days. And then single-mindedly. Not that we are here and we are speaking to a friend. Like when Arab came in Jamaat. MashaAllah, this is a nice car. He said, I've left everything, I've left my home, and all that I had in my property is all in my car, and I've come to rectify myself. Very good, mashallah. But we noticed that in the evening he would stand and talk for hours on the phone. Every day. Whenever the time, he would be talking to the phone. So I sat down with him. I said, my brother, alhamdulillah, you have spent time, big sacrifice you make, but you will benefit, change will come in your life if you have to. He said, no, I got to. So we left him. Explained him once, twice. So next time when he came next year, he said, now, if you are prepared to spend your time the way elders are saying, then otherwise, I'm sorry, brother. You'll be spoiling other people's time also. So my beloved there. So we do what? What do you do in the path of Allah? Dawat. We have to learn dawat. Every Muslim is dai. As the brother was saying, if you are not a dai, you are not invited, you will be invited. Everywhere. Why we invite you? Okay? Achha, I also had something in my mind. Chalo, my wife came. So, I was telling about the doctor. They said, what do you do? Why our wife don't agree? So we had that program. And mashallah, the ladies went so happily. And they said, go. Nobody stops you. You go. So the doctors come and told us, MashaAllah, you have solved a problem. Because, my brother, this is why we are required in the work of Dawat. Also, tarheeb is given that we involve your wife also. She should also, she should sit in Talim. She should be also doing zikr and tilawat. She should also be told our purpose of life. See? And she should always also be encouraged to go out in the path of Allah. This work is for men also, ladies also. Hidayat is a need of men also, ladies also. Young, old, wealthy, poor, sick, or for everyone. So, today we think that we are mashallah. What about our ladies? What about my daughter? My granddaughter? House is full of ladies. And we have no time for them. This is why, my brother, we are required that we do talim at home. Give time to them. Because time ho jaye to bata dena mujhe. Acha. So, but we have to learn how to do it. Yes, can't order. Come on, you see the talim. Go to the mosque. You're telling your son, go to the mosque. Every time, you are here, go to the mosque. One youngster told me, tell this old man about his father. If he tells me next time, I will leave the house and go away. What does he think of me? So we don't do that. Tarheeb only. How many times? Somebody asked, how many tarheeb? I keep on giving tarheeb. One sahabi came and said, my slave is very disobedient. My slave is very disobedient. What should I do? I said, forgive him. So he asked, how many times? How many times shall I forgive him? Every time he says 70 times in a day. How many? 70 times in a day he makes mistake, you forgive him. So likewise with our children, our ex-child, only tarheeb, don't scold. Haven't I told you? Only yesterday I told you. 10 times I told you to do talim and you are doing talim. No, don't do that. Don't do that. You will turn her away from you and from deen also. I will turn him also from yourself and from the. You don't do that. Ikram, ikhlaq, what do you call it? Encouragement. Hadiya, hadaya. Give him gifts. And then tell him to sit in talim. Ikram, sir, I have brought this chocolate for you. Acha. And that, this is so important. Mona Umar Sahib, you know, our elder, he passed away. He went to Misr, Egypt, and he made ban, and he should do talim in the houses. So we have different talim for Arabs, Riyadus Salihin. For Arab, Riyadus Salihin and Hayatus Sahaba. For us, Fazail Amal. Nothing was Fazail Amal, part one and part two. From about 100 years, this talim is going on, and millions of people's lives have changed. No change is required. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the work. We have to continue that way. Anyway, so he went to Misr, and he told the crowd, "Why you should do talim at home? The halqa of talim, halqa of iman. When you do talim, your iman will get. You get to know what Allah is going to reward you for every amal, and then the life of sahaba will come before you, and akhirat and jannat, which you don't see." You don't see Jannat. How can we believe? But sitting halqa of talim. So important. So he gave this. After the bayan, one Arab came to him. Hazrat, you have come very late. You should have come earlier. Now the water has gone above my head. He told Mawlana Umar Sahib. He said, what happened? He said, my daughter, she goes to the club and she dances there. She has danced. What can I do now? She won't listen to me. She has no time. No salat, she goes to the club. Maulana said, you do talim at home. Oh, she won't sit. Even she doesn't sit, you just do talim loudly. Can you do that? All right. He said this and make dua. He went away. I think after a year or two, he came back to the club. This Arab came running to him and embraced him. Hazrat, you have solved my problem. So from the time that you advised me to do talim, I started doing talim. But she won't sit. He said, wow. My daughter would walk away. But as you advised that you go. So alone I was in talim. One day, 2 days, 3 days. And after 3-4 days, she comes and said, Dad, what are you reading? She says, it's talim. I had to sahaba. So can I sit down? Of course. So she sat down. 1 or 2 days sat down. Second day, she had a scarf on her head. Okay. She had a scarf on, the head. And then after 10 days or so, she said, "Dad, I want to leave this dancing. It's not good." You see, of course. And then what happened? She started by Hati Quran. Just imagine. So this has got so much, you know. So we create, inshallah, we'll do that.
Chala. There's a question, inshallah, to go for some refreshments. And then after Asr, there will be a bayan. After Maghrib also, there will be a bayan, inshallah. After Isha, so that your brothers can prepare some the dastarkhan, the ikram. Inshallah, there will be a short bayan after Isha. And then, inshallah, we will conclude with a dua, inshallah. So, brothers, inshallah, if you can
proceed to all.